Verse 13. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You know, dear ones, we have an unequaled privilege to be living at the time where heaven is open now. The heavens are open now. Stephen saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing right there. And you and I, by God's matchless grace, bought at such a price, we can behold him there by faith, expecting to see him face to face momentarily. Our brother is speaking of mysteries, and God has given us by his Spirit and by his Word to know those secrets, those hidden things from God's heart. The end of the book, right here. I am the Alpha and Omega. First letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the living Word. He is the beginning of God's communications with us. And he's the end of it too. The beginning and the end. I missed the meeting yesterday, but 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. It started with the Lord Jesus. What is it going to end with? It's got to end with the Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, the enemy of our souls is very active to distract us from him. Doesn't matter what he uses. He'll use anything, even the Word of God, to distract us from him. What is the end of all things? It's to be with him and like him forever. And for him to have that place in all the believers' hearts, he would have it now like that. And because of our personal failures, collective failures, it might not be happening. But it's going to happen. You'll be sure of that. We will know as known, to know him. And so the Apostle Peter speaks of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To know him, and then to know him, and then to know him, and to know him. And God has not held back anything for you and I right now to know him. I can't see him, but I can know him. And I can be affected more and more by knowing him. And the more I know him, I can be more like him. Friend of sinners and publicans, an accessible, welcoming one. And I trust, dear ones, having been introduced to such marvels in the revelation of the truth of God, that we are welcoming, warm-hearted, And people around us would feel not the cold, but the warmth. What draws in a man is his kindness. Might not be quoted properly in English, but that's how it goes in French. Ce qui attire dans un homme, c'est sa bonté. What draws in a man is his kindness. We've been drawn to that man, haven't we? What a wonder. He's the beginning. Before the world was, God had the prospect of being known through him. It starts with him, and it ends with him, beginning and the end. And he says, verse 13, the first and the last. He's the firstborn of many brethren, the firstborn from among the dead. He, in everything, he should have the first place. But he took the last place. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, he was the least of the least of the saints. But he was still a saint. He was less than the least of the saints. But you're still a saint. Psalm 22, he says, I am a worm and no man. What is this, brethren? The Lord of glory is the last. I've been struck recently about things that are not mentioned in certain places in the scriptures. And I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, the Apostle Paul was not there when the Lord's Supper was instituted. He did not hear the words that the Lord said. Matthew was there. And Mark, who also gives us the account of the Lord instituting the supper, he went along with Peter, and Peter was there. So they could have first-hand and second-hand record of what happened there. One being there himself, and one being close to one who was being there, was there himself. But Paul wasn't there. Now, if you look up Matthew and Mark, you will not find the words, this do in remembrance of me. Never noticed that before. You find it in Luke, but Luke was Paul. Luke and Paul were together a lot of times, and so he would have heard it from Paul, I suspect. I'll leave that with you. Where did Paul hear that? Where did he get that? From Matthew and Peter and John? No. He got it from the Lord. And he records what he heard from the Lord, which Matthew and Mark did not record. Why is that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 9, rather, sorry. You know, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, as every Lord's Day, we'll be together around the Lord and knowing this and remembrance of Him. No higher privilege, I believe, on the face of the earth. That little talk a few days ago, the question came up about worship and service. And in many Christian circles, they believe service is worship. It's not my perspective. What I do for the Lord, I want to do out of love for Him and energy for Him and because I'm thankful. But would I dare present this to the Lord? I let Him be the rewarder of what that which is done for Him. But after what has been done for me, how could I ever present to the Lord what I've done for Him? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, I trust you're familiar with the elements of the Old Testament, and if you're not, a beautiful study. Verse 1 of chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. But there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and a table and a showbread, which is called a sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, but they had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, etc. If you went back and studied the tabernacle, you would find in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies had the Ark of the Covenant in there, but in the holy place you had the golden candlestick, which isn't mentioned here, and the table of showbread, and right in front of the veil was the altar of incense. There was a piece of furniture there called the altar of incense. And on the other side of the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. I don't see the altar. The Spirit of God is quiet when He speaks to the Jewish people there of the altar, where the perfume and holy incense was offered before the Lord. So all our praise and prayer, Christ adds, is sweet perfume. There was sweet perfume there offered before the Lord. Missing here. Certainly others have different thoughts on there, but I was wondering for myself, just with the absence of those words in Matthew and Mark, this do in remembrance of me, that I would notice this missing piece of furniture. Because in the Old Testament, God could smell the fragrance of what these perfumes and incense represented. I remember in the Catholic Church, you know, we had the priest going around and had this golden censer, and he went around and you could smell in the room the incense that was being burned, you know. We don't go around with censers like that, do we? But the Spirit of God delights to produce in our hearts a response, dear ones, a response to Him. How the Father delights for His children to have a measure of appreciation of His Son, of the glory of His person, of the infinite worth of His sacrifice. don't know about you, those of us who have the privilege of remembering the Lord from week to week. You get tired of it? Or isn't it fresh every time that the Spirit of God moves you, touches you, and you can't hold it back? You might worship in silence, but if it was genuinely produced from your heart, and you would say, "Thank you, Jesus." I'm sure that's perfume. The name of Jesus, pronounced by one of God's children, in a measure of appreciation. That altar of incense, which is not mentioned, was square when it's presented in the Old Testament. You can look it up. Exodus 30, I believe. The way it's presented, it sat on its two sides. It was square. A square has four sides. But it's presented on its two sides. And often we consider it like that. What was done for God the Father. The appreciation He has, the satisfaction He has in the work of His Son. And we can fellowship with the Father in that. And there's a side that was done for you, for me, and for us. He died for us to be together around Him. It's going to be like that. Maybe today. The Pentecostal brothers, the Baptist brothers, the Catholic brothers, the Protestant brothers, and the brothers there, the brothers dear, the brothers divided there, the brothers divided there, and this brethren here and these brethren. We got all sorts of names for them. But there's one body. And momentarily, today, tomorrow, this week, shortly, we're going to all be going together. In the full enjoyment of Him, H-I-M, forever. With our Father. Four sides to that altar. What was it in His life of rejection, misunderstanding, yet going on in grace and patience, eating Republicans and sinners alike? This is our Lord Jesus. And then what was it in His death? So He says to Paul, the minister of 14 epistles to instruct us in the truth of God about His Son, who He is, what He's done for us, what we have been made to be in Him. What was it for the Father? What was it for you and me? But what was it for Him? This do in remembrance of me. And I believe when we bow in His presence and the Spirit of God is free to use us, instead of that altar of incense, for our mouths to be opened in singing beautiful hymns. What richness we have there to lift up our souls, distract us from this world, and have us consider the open heavens. And that one who has the wounds in His hands and His feet in His side. And He's listening. Lamentation, is it nothing to you that pass by? We're not passing by, Lord. We're coming, we're sitting down. What was that last element mentioned before the veil in Hebrews chapter 9? It's a showbread. That's all we have. No music, no ceremony, no decor. A bread a loaf of bread. And it's called showbread. It is proposing something. It's bread. Doesn't become anything different than bread. We eat the bread. But what is it proposing? Oh. What is proposing to your heart and mind? What a gift the Father gave. He gave Himself. The Lord Jesus gave Himself for me. Young people, I don't know if you've been hearing the Lord's voice. I was brought up Catholic, you know, and in Catholic they celebrate the Eucharist, and they have these little hosts. And what they believe is after the priest prays, this little host becomes the body and blood of Jesus. This becomes what I call idolatry. This is small idolatry. You're receiving the Lord. No, you're not receiving the Lord. And this little wafer. If this is the bread, the body and blood of Jesus, where's His death? Where is His death? On the table you have a loaf of bread, a cup of wine. His body and blood separated. His death. Ye show the Lord's death till He comes. Now He physically died when He gave up the ghost. This was His giving His spirit to the Father. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. None of us can do that. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. He did that. But before He entered into physical death, He suffered from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Eternal death that you would have to suffer for eternity because of your sins. The dimension of my Savior escapes me. The dimension of His work on the cross, it escapes me. I can't measure it. But I can sure bow and worship. I can sure bow my head and thank Him and thank the Father. And have this disposition of soul as a child of God to want to honor this one who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I just wanted to share this, dear ones, those things that the Spirit of God is silent about. Yet I believe they speak to us of wonderful things. These very words of the Lord Jesus, not brought to us by Matthew or Peter, by someone who wasn't there. He got it from the Lord in glory. He says, "This do, remembrance of me." And who are the ones to answer to that? It's us. We're not going to do it anymore when He comes. We're never going to forget. But I do own and confess that from week to week, from one remembrance to the other, after the remembrance, it's burning. But by the time the week is over, the temperature's different. I have been distracted from by legitimate things, and perhaps things that shouldn't be in your life at all. But to be brought back to the substance of Him that is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.